JFK Behind the Curtain, Part 1. By DJ M. I'm supposing that every puffin of a certain age would remember where they were when the news broke in the afternoon of November 22, 1963, America's Darkest Friday. Ed? Can we still say that? President John Fitzgerald Kennedy had been gunned down on a Dallas street, and Vice President Lyndon Baines Johnson driven swiftly back to the airport before being sworn in as president, with the blood-stained widow of JFK at his side. En route back to Washington on Air Force One, the military and security people accompanying the new president were asking the necessary initial questions. Was the death of JFK the first move in an international conspiracy? Was LBJ now the target? But it was now the man closest to the slain president who needed to put his grief on one side and swiftly move to conceal all evidence of JFK's secret life both from the nation, as well as from the new president, who would be installed in the Oval Office that evening. When the news came of his brother's shooting, Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, the second most powerful man in Washington, was lunching at his office desk. He moved deftly and displayed the full swathe of his reputation for pragmatism and toughness, notifying and consoling family members, making arrangements both for the handling of the body and a full state funeral, answering legal queries from the new president. But his first call was to McGeorge Bundy, the dead president's security advisor, who was told to immediately secure JFK's papers in the Oval Office. Bundy swiftly ordered the combinations on all locked files be changed, before LBJ's people could be rummaging through them. Bobby Kennedy well understood that the public revelations of the materials contained in his brother's White House files would completely shatter both Jack Kennedy's reputation as president, and his own as Attorney General. Having spent nearly 3 years as notional guardian of the nation's laws, as his brother's operative in foreign crises, and as the personal watchdog for an older brother who reveled in personal excesses and recklessness, he truly knew where all the bodies were buried. The two brothers had brazenly lied in their denials to newspaper men and the public about JFK's rumored first marriage to a Palm Beach socialite, Doree Malcolm. This occurred in 1947, when Jack was a first-term congressman. It had been a spur-of-the-moment thing after a late-night party, but on sober reflection both Jack and Doree repined. In those days, a Las Vegas quickie divorce was not an option for these two scions of society. The Kennedy family instead arranged for all papers to be removed from the Palm Beach courthouse and the necessary palms greased. The wedding never happened. The president's files would reveal that both Jack and Bobby were more than merely informed about CIA plotting the assassination of Fidel Castro. They were its strongest supporters. Castro had been marked to die after the disastrous and humiliating failure of the Bay of Pigs invasion fiasco in 1961. Files also dealt with three other foreign leaders who were murdered during the 1,000-day presidency of JFK: Lumumba, Congo, Trujillo, Dominican Republic, and Diem, South Vietnam. The world had been told that Kennedy had stood firm against Soviet aggression in the matter of the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, with Premier Khrushchev backing down from the brink of nuclear war. Little of this was true, as Bobby Kennedy well knew. With their political futures at stake, the brothers had negotiated through back diplomatic channels a last-minute compromise with the Soviets. The real settlement dash and the true importance of the missile crisis remained a state secret for more than 25 years. But there were more, many more, dark, secrets for Bobby Kennedy to hide. Copyright DJM 2020.